You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Friday morning to you. Mike McMurrin for a Friday edition of All Marine Radio. Should probably start with bright news over the last 24 hours. I first got right as we were going off the air, the news broke that Marines had been arrested out of a formation that the 1st Battalion, 5th Marines held at Camp Pendleton. 16 Marines were arrested, 8 others were detained, and here's what national news reported on it.
Also in Southern California, more than a dozen U.S. Marines are under arrest tonight on charges that include human smuggling. They're based at Camp Pendleton. That's about an hour's drive from the Mexican border. And David Martin has details of the arrest that was done as a public display for the entire unit to see.
First, there were 2 Marines accused of human smuggling. Now there are 16 more, all members of the same battalion, arrested at Camp Pendleton, California today during morning formation. None of them were among the 6,600 active duty and National Guard troops assigned to the southwest border. 8 more Marines were questioned in an unrelated drug case. The first 2 Marines were arrested earlier this month when Border Patrol agents caught them in the act of picking up 3 undocumented immigrants from Mexico. According to court documents, the 3 immigrants told investigators they were paying $8,000 to be smuggled to Los Angeles or New Jersey. One of the Marines said he was expecting to be paid $1,000 for his role. The other said he had made similar pickups before. That case prompted Border Patrol agents to expand their investigation, resulting in today's mass arrest. Officials say more arrests are expected. In a separate case, 22 Navy SEALs, an entire platoon, have been sent home from Iraq. Defense officials tell CBS News they took part in a drunken July 4th party, which not only violated regulations against consuming alcohol in Iraq, but resulted in allegations of sexual assault. A tweet from the Special Operations Command said their commander lost confidence in the team's ability to accomplish the mission.
Defense officials say the SEALs were sent home because all of them invoked a code of silence and refused to talk about what had happened at the party. Nora?
All right, David Martin at the Pentagon, thank you.
Here's a separate news broadcast about that. Just you listen. Some of the information is the same. There's a spokesperson from Camp Pendleton in this one, so bear with me as you might hear some redundancy. But, you know, the subject of discipline, actually, this week on the program, you had the former Secretary of Defense talk about discipline, right? You had General Furness, who was absolutely vilified for saying, hey, we ain't there. And the indignant outrage of junior Marines across the Marine Corps in an anonymous fashion, telling him to stick to strategy, General. Blah, blah, fucking blah. Right? Well, as far as I can tell, it ain't working. Okay? And the shit you see from the Navy to the Marine Corps to Navy Special Warfare Group is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Two of the country's most famous military units are under intense scrutiny today over troubling incidents on opposite sides of the world. A human smuggling investigation led to the mass arrest of 16 Marines from the 1st Marine Division yesterday at Camp Pendleton in California. Two other Marines were arrested and charged earlier this month. Now, the accusations range from smuggling illegal immigrants into the country to drug-related offenses.
And in a separate case, an entire platoon of elite Navy SEALs was sent home from Iraq over allegations of sexual misconduct and drinking while deployed. Jamie Yukis is at Camp Pendleton. That's north of San Diego. Jamie, what more do we know?
Well, this is what we know right now, Tony. Those 16 Marines are in the brig on the base, and authorities here say they've already questioned 8 additional Marines. Marines are known for their discipline and dedication to country, but in the past month, authorities here have arrested 18 Marines from this base, some for allegedly helping ferry undocumented immigrants into this country in exchange for money.
It's a shock to the system.
Thursday's arrest of 16 Marines occurred in dramatic fashion in front of their own entire unit.
The release of this information was really so we could be completely transparent about what happened today. It was a very large arrest.
The Marines were made to line up in morning formation, like this one the Marine Corps filmed earlier at California's Camp Pendleton. They were then arrested for offenses that range from human smuggling to drug-related activities. All 16 suspects are members of the oldest active duty Marine Division, headquartered here, just 60 miles north of the Mexican border. None of the Marines were among the 6,600 active duty and National Guard troops assigned to bolster Border Patrol at the southwestern border. The Marines say Thursday's arrest stemmed from an earlier arrest of two more Camp Pendleton Marines near the Mexican border in early July. The pair were pulled over with three undocumented immigrants in their back seat and charged with human smuggling. Both have pleaded not guilty. According to authorities, the undocumented immigrants said they agreed to pay the Marines $8,000. The Marines said it was not their first time doing this, and Border Patrol expanded the investigation, which led to Thursday's arrest.
Now, expanded means, in this day and age, just start flipping through their phone. Look at who they call, look at the text messages, right? Find out who that phone number belongs to, and then start compiling a list. I mean, how easy is it now for NCIS investigators?
Yes. If they are in fact found guilty of those crimes, then they'll be held appropriately accountable for that.
In a separate case on the 4th of July, an entire platoon of 22 elite Navy SEALs in Iraq allegedly held a drunken party. That not only violates regulations against consuming alcohol in Iraq, but there have also been allegations of sexual assault.
When questioned, the whole platoon from SEAL Team 7 in Iraq refused to speak with investigators. When their commander ordered them home on Wednesday, he said he, quote, lost confidence in the team's ability to accomplish the mission. Vlad?
All right, Jamie, thank you very much.
Pretty interesting.
Sponsored by
the... Relative to the SEAL thing, at least they learned the lesson from the Gallagher court-martial, right? Don't say a word. Stick together. We'll lie our way out of this thing, right? Because that's what we do. When in doubt, when the world turns against us just because we're over here drinking in violation of General Order Number 1, which they've done since 2004, at least I know that, right? And yeah, somebody got carried away and there's allegation of sexual assault, but, you know, we'll get through this. So we'll all shut up, nobody will talk, nobody will tell the truth, and we'll all get through this together. That's the lesson that came out of that fucking court-martial. So, I mean, the sun comes up on a not very good day for the Naval Services, for Secretary Spencer. And we've seen this, and again, it's just undisciplined bullshit. Now, Tim Lynch is going to join me here in a few minutes. And I'm going to pose some questions to him. And they're going to be questions like this. Okay, so I asked a Marine that I know, because something came up in something General Furness published about having formations. And formations, right? When I was a lieutenant and in my company, when I was a company commander in the 90s, you had three formations a day. You had one to start the morning. You had one after chow as we got ready to kick off the afternoon. And then you had a third formation to sound liberty call at the end of the day. And the significance of those formations is you have the senior Marines, senior enlisted Marines in the company run those things. The first sergeant, the gunny, mostly the gunny. But what does that mean? It means all the Marines in the company assemble, and he's standing there looking at people. Why do you look like that? Okay, now let me tell you the importance. So I ask a Marine, who I know, called him up. I said, hey, let me ask you a question. Do you have company formations? And he said, no. So, well, he said, yeah, we have them twice a week, on Monday and Friday. What about the rest of the week? We don't have them. Well, who holds a formation? Well, the platoons do. Okay, well, who's normally standing in front of that? Well, I mean, hopefully it's a staff sergeant, but probably a lot of times it's a sergeant or a corporal. So instead of having a gunny looking at Marines, you have a corporal looking at Marines. A first-term Marine that is rendered all the respect that other first-term Marines render to him, which isn't much, to be honest with you, unless he or she is exceptional. And so I'm going to ask old Doc Lynch when he comes on. I'm going to ask him how you run an organization like that. And so, I mean, honestly, it's hard for me to, when he said, no, we don't have formations. And I read, you know, and I asked Jerome Furness about that. He said, well, you know, it's just minimum guidance. Now, here's my opinion. If General Furness told the truth about what he's really seeing, people would hate it. But the truth is, you don't have the adults running the events every day now. You have novices running the events. You don't have adults inspecting rooms anymore. They do what they want up there. And so, this change that the Marine Corps tries so very hard to put on people, the change isn't forever. We can backslide into the way we were as civilians, to the point where you have 18 Marines currently in the brig for human smuggling in one unit. Now, if you have that many Marines in a unit in the Marine Corps involved in human smuggling, and let me tell you, that's just what they arrested. You know there'll be more people arrested. What else is going on there? And how does that exist? How does that exist? Obviously, you don't know your Marines. Obviously, you don't know what they're doing. And so, again, I mean, bad things happen on occasion, right? and you try not to overact. But I see this as a broader theme in the United States military of this incredible lack of discipline. But nobody save one guy wants to say it. But everybody talking about it on the down low, right? When he was getting vilified in public, anybody else other than Brigadier General Alfreds, you know, have anything to say about it? No. And so, I mean, it's already, in my opinion, beyond the crisis point, just by the stuff people tell me. Just by the stuff people tell me. So, we're going to talk about that today. Whitney Houston makes this morning official. Good morning to you. Good morning to you. Email entitled 1970s. Good morning, Mac. Hey, I heard you speak of the post-Vietnam era, how bad the Marine Corps was. They fixed it eventually. Will this have to go the same way? Well, the problem isn't the Marines, though. That's the problem. It isn't the Marines that's the problem. It's the leaders that are the problem. If you think that you can allow novices to run platoons, then I don't know what Marine Corps that you grew up in, but it's not the way we've achieved the things we've achieved. I mean, we have great leaders, but I mean, this shit, how people live in a unit where the senior people don't see the novices on a daily basis, don't mentor them, don't crop them. They're off on their own, doing what they do, which is not good. But it's, to me, stunning. The more this shit that comes out, it's stunning to hear how far the organization is away from the post. It's absolutely, positively stunning. So, yeah, it's not the Marines. The Marines will be what they're like kids. They are kids. But they will be what you train them to be. They will be what you fashion them to be. And if you leave them alone, if you give them their idle time, if you're not in their business, then you get this kind of shit. Embarrassing. Leadership failure. Lack of discipline. These 18 guys, they didn't join the Marine Corps to smuggle human beings. At one point in their life, they wanted to be Marines. And people don't come into the Marine Corps. It's too hard, right, to be shitbags. They come in because they want to do more. And then they show up, and then they find out the truth. In this unit, in this organization, it ain't about being more. I don't know who to dedicate this to. I guess I should dedicate this to all the people that have served as Marines in bygone years, in the hope that you'll reach out to people that are on active duty and school them on what it is, on how to run a unit. Because I'm telling you, people do not know now. And that's the fight General Furness fought. Alone, I might add. Yeah, alone. So anyway, this is dedicated to people that have done it before. You need to reach out. And tell, I mean, could you imagine? I can't even fathom it, right? Because, you know, you're, as a company commander, you're in your office, you hear, you know, you hear outside, company, attend, report, first platoon, all president are accounted for, second platoon, all president. It's the way we did business. You had to stand in front of people in charge. There were officers, there were senior staff and COs in the area. There wasn't you having your little platoon formation somewhere where nobody saw you. Guys showing up looking like shit. Nobody corrected them because, you know, you're too junior and they'll tell you to fuck off. That's not the way it ever worked. And I don't know how the fuck whoever's in charge of whatever thinks that it can work now, because it doesn't work. So this is dedicated to the hope that somebody unfucks something.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night? nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Well, guess what? You know, you might win, but a whole lot more people are going to die because you're not disciplined. And that's the truth. And you know, we see it all over the place. I mean, look, you know, 1st Marine Division skylined right now. Okay? And the SEALs are skylined again. Okay? I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. At some point, you have to stop playing charades and say, hey, we got a fucking problem here, boys and girls. So, let me do the weather. We'll take a quick break. We'll get Tim Lynch on, and I'll ask him some questions. You can hear from O-Doc Lynch. All right, currently sunny and 85 in Quantico, so it's cooled off a little bit in the D.C. area. Clouds in 83 at Camp Lejeune. Sunny 87 in 29 Palms, so it's cooled off a little bit there. On the coast at Camp Pendleton, clouds in 72, so it's cooled off there. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy 78. 3rd Marine Division reports, clear, dark, and 82 on Okinawa. In the Helmand, in the Al Anbar province of Iraq, it is 105 degrees under sunny skies in Ramadi. In the Helmand province, it is dark, clear, and 98. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is fair skies. Not sure what that means. And 72. Looking for a high of 86. 84 tomorrow. And 80 on Sunday. That is look at your weather. All right. O-Doc Lynch going to join us here in a few minutes as we talk about this. I mean, can you imagine that? You know, I mean, I'll say this to compliment the 1st Marine Division. Not trying to run from it, right? Those guys got arrested in front of God and everybody. And they did that to set an example, okay? But when you have that much cancer and criminal activity in an organization, guess what? Somebody not paying attention. Somebody not paying attention. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it. The All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and soak in the
All right, I'm still waiting on Doc Lynch. I talked to him a little bit ago, and now he's like vanished. So. All right, just in case you didn't see the story and you didn't hear it, yesterday NCIS yoked up, as in arrested, 16 Marines. At a battalion formation aboard Camp Pendleton, Marines were all from one unit, 1st Battalion, 5th Marines. They ranked from private first class to corporal. That, according to Major Kendra Motz, a spokesman for the 1st Marine Division. Another 8 were questioned about involvement in unrelated drug offenses, according to the press release. The Marine Corps said none of the Marines questioned or detained Thursday have been supporting military operations along the U.S. border. And then this statement says the 1st Marine Division is committed to justice and rule of law and we will continue to fully cooperate with NCIS in the matter. So the way this starts is that two Marines are arrested on July 3rd by Border Patrol agents. Lance Corporal Byron Darnell Law II and Lance Corporal David Javier Salazar Quintero near the U.S.-Mexican border. Both are riflemen assigned to 1st Battalion, 5th Marines, my old battalion, at Camp Pendleton, part of the Blue Diamond. They face federal charges for allegedly smuggling three undocumented immigrants near the U.S. border for financial gain, according to... That's human trafficking, man. That's a serious offense. The Marine Corps said in Thursday's press release, the 16 Thursday arrests were based off information learned during the previous investigation. So, yeah, let's just follow where your phone leads us, then we'll follow where their phone leads us. So that obviously big in the news. So and then there's discussion. You've heard the details. Immigrants paying $8,000. Marines saying that they thought that they were going to get $1,000 for transporting them. One never got paid. One had done it a previous time. Blah 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 blah. So, the trials and tribulations of collecting money when you're in a smuggling organization. So again, that in the news for a couple of reasons, and that is, obviously disturbing, but it's this disturbing trend of lack of discipline. And, you know, people don't want to talk about it, people get pissed, you know, and all the rest of that nonsense, and then boom, it hits you right in the face. And then on the heels of that is the story about the SEALs. Drinking in violation of jail order number one, right, drunk on the 4th of July, and a sexual assault evidently took place, and then they all, you know, to honor the brotherhood, nobody makes a statement. Which, as I said earlier in the broadcast, that's exactly what came out of the lesson that came out of the Gallagher trial. Don't say anything. Fuck them. Let them prove it. We'll hang together because it's what we do. Our first responsibility to each other, not to the oath that we took to the nation. Yeah, that's not a problem, is it? Not much. All right, we'll check some other news, and we'll see if old Doc Lynch joins us. I don't know, what time was it? At 7:32 this morning, whatever. All right, he's missing. Let's see, top stories in Stars and Stripes today. There's an email. Mac, you sound pissed. I am pissed. Let me tell you what pisses me off. When you hear, it's not just a little fucked up. It's not just, and it's not the Marines that are fucked up. It's leaders that are fucked up. That's what's so disturbing. That's what's so disturbing. So, yeah, I'm not happy about it. And then again, the one only guy who called it out, he got shit on by everybody. And not one other general officer, other than General Alford, publicly came to his defense and said, in General Furness's defense, it's an issue. I know it. I've seen it. And we need to have this discussion. Nobody said that, to include the Commandant. And the Commandant knows it's a problem. Trust me. A top story in Stars and Stripes. Sexual assault report led to investigation of Navy SEAL team kicked out of Iraq for drinking alcohol, officials say. This is in Stars and Stripes. I mean, seriously. What a shit show. The statement did not say what led to the decision, but a defense official with knowledge of the situation said that a female service member working with their platoon reported being sexually assaulted by one of the SEALs during the 4th of July holiday weekend. The official, who spoke on a condition of anonymity due to the sensitivity of the situation, said the report triggered scrutiny of the platoon, including drinking while deployed. The SEALs declined to cooperate with investigators, prompting Hill, general type, to send them home for both that and the alcohol use, the official said. The alleged assault was first reported yesterday by the New York Times. A second person, a senior Navy official, said Thursday that he was aware of the alleged sexual misconduct being part of the case, but was not sure if an assault had actually been reported. SEAL Team 7, lest you forget, is the same SEAL team that Chief Petty Officer Edward Gallagher, who recently faced court-martial on war crimes charges, was a part of. So again, at some point, right, even delusional people have to sober up and say, we got a problem. We've already talked about Marines at Camp Pendleton. French Foreign Legion marksman win U.S. Army Europe sniper contest. So congratulations to them. And a story that we see more and more of because of the recovery of remains and our ability to identify them. U.S. Army Corporal Charles Stanley Lawler's burial will close an excruciating chapter for his family. His mother always held out hope that he had been captured and not killed or missing. His remains return home this week to Traverse City, Michigan. 68 years after he disappeared in a Korean War battle. So again, we see these stories more and more. And again, you're reminded of the difficult life that people have lived not knowing as somebody was missing in action in Korea or Vietnam or World War II, never having a body to bury, never really knowing the rest of the story about what happened. Here's another email. Mac, you need to do your breathing exercises. This stuff makes me angry because what makes me angry is the failure of people that people don't want to talk about. You know? So, let me tell you, I'm going to tell you, the Marine Corps isn't the same organization that it used to be. And I don't know how many calls it needs to get invited back to the table to do business the way it used to do business, the way it used to treat Marines, the way it used to execute, the way it used to do things. But let me tell you, as Joe Mattis said, if you're not disciplined and preparing for war in peacetime, the only thing you're doing is signing the death warrants of more people than have to die. All right. The big story yesterday in the news, U.S. cruiser transits the Taiwan Strait after China calls to stop foreign interference on the island. Again, China's claim on Taiwan is bullshit. Those of you who listen to the program, you've heard Grant Nuchin talk about, the island of Formosa's history with mainland China. It has rarely been under the control of the Chinese. So, the USS Antietam transits, I think, something that's over 90 miles wide, and the Chinese, feel the need to tell everybody, yeah, you can't go there. I mean, first of all, it's why we go there to show to not only the Chinese. I mean, hell, the Canadians have even gone through there. And memo to the Chinese, hey, man, if the Canadians are doing it, your enforcement arm sucks, okay? All right? So, anyway, I guess slow news day. That was the story yesterday. So, anyway, been going on. Top stores in Marine Corps Times? I wonder what that will be. 60 Marines arrested by NCS for human smuggling and drug offenses. Another headline, SEAL shenanigans in the spotlight again. I don't know that sexual assault is a shenanigan. So I don't know who wrote that. Again, my quarrel with headline writers, right? And then the story about the number of Marines in Australia continues to circulate. New Secretary of Defense and what he's going to do in terms of safe passage and brokering a deal with other people to share intelligence, blah, 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 blah. So that's in the news. North Korea says the missile test was a solemn warning to South Korea. A solemn warning, okay. There's a lot of different ways you can be warned. This, however, was a solemn warning. So take it from there. The top five stories in early bird. Another email. Yeah, bro, you need to settle down. Now, you know what, and what I tend to do is when I hear this stuff, I call my sons and I ask them, hey, is this true? And they're like, yep. I'm like, what? I know. I'm like, are you shitting me? All right, top five stories in early bird. Then I get even more pissed. Number one, Senate confirms U.S. Army General Mark Milley as the 20th chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff following an 89-1 vote in the Senate on Thursday. So here's a question for you. What is his background? Hold on, let me pull up his Wikipedia. Page, and let's find out where he's been. We don't want that. We want this. All right. Years of service, 1980 until the present. Born in Winchester, Massachusetts. He is 61 years of age. Commands held. 2nd Brigade Combat Team, 10th Mountain Division, Light. 10th Mountain Division, so he's a straight leg guy. He's an infantry guy. International Security Assistance Forces, ISAF. Right? 3rd Corps. Chief of Staff of the Army. Chief of Staff, Army Central Command, and then Chief of Staff of the Army. No, he was Central Command, then Chief of Staff of the Army, then now Chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff. He was commissioned an armor officer through Princeton's Army ROTC program in 1980, but has spent most of his career in infantry assignments. Knew we loved him for that. Milley has served in the 82nd Airborne, the 5th Special Forces Group, 7th Infantry Division, 2nd Infantry Division, Joint Readiness Training Center, 25th Infantry Division, Military Assistant to the Secretary of Defense of the Pentagon. That'll punch your ticket. In November 2000, he participated in the 2nd Annual Army-Navy Ice Hockey Game in Honolulu, Hawaii, a charity event benefiting youth ice hockey players in the area. Hockey player from Massachusetts, commanded the 2nd Brigade Combat Team, 10th Mountain Division, from December of 2003 to July of 2005, so that would have been during the March Up and the first year in Iraq. Commanded the 101st Airborne Division from 2007 to 2008, commander of the 10th Mountain Division from November of 2011 to December of 2012, then served as a commanding general of 3rd Corps based at Fort Hood, Texas, was the commanding general of U.S. Army Forces Command based at Fort Bragg in North Carolina, and then on to the Pentagon. So that's his background. He's commissioned as an armor officer, but served as an infantry officer most of his career. So congratulations to him, and all the best of luck. We'll see where he leads the Department of Defense and the Uniformed Services. Number two, a story about 16 Marines arrested by NCIS for human smuggling. Number three, heightened nomination to advance after he offers private testimony. So we've been following this, and along the lines of, he was accused of sexual assault. The Air Force investigated and said they could find no corroborating evidence. So it then went to the Senate Armed Service Committee. Now, as we've discussed, Senate Armed Service Committee has a few people that are running for president. They happen to be female. One is Kirsten Gillibrand, and she has been an absolute thunderous voice for the whole issue of sexual assault and sexual harassment in the Marine Corps and gender integration, as has Elizabeth Warren. So, quite honestly, I did not think that this, the General Heighten, H-Y-T-E-N, I did not think his nomination was going to get out of the Senate Armed Service Committee. Confirmation for President Donald Trump's nominee for Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff was set to move forward after lawmakers interviewed him in private on Thursday, according to a top U.S. lawmaker. The nominee, U.S. Strategic Command Chief General John Heighten, one of the two, offered testimony to defend himself before the Senate Armed Service Committee in a Senate secure facility all morning. On Tuesday, his accuser, a former subordinate of Heighten's, answered lawmakers' questions about her allegation in a closed hearing. Senate Armed Service Committee Chairman Jim Inhofe, a Republican from Oklahoma, told reporters he exited the hearing that he planned to announce Thursday afternoon that the panel would hold an open confirmation hearing for Heighten. Inhofe declined to say whether he would vote for Heighten or what he thought of his testimony. So his nomination will advance, which is pretty surprising. Number four, a Navy SEAL platoon is pulled out of Iraq over misconduct. What's interesting about the Navy SEAL thing is that somebody else put him on blast and did it in public. So, sequence of events, they have a party, they get drunk, which again, they've been doing since the first time I was in Iraq. Right, they're inside walled, closed compounds. Nobody else can go in there because they don't have clearances. This is all a special place, right? And they have lots of money to buy, you know, TVs, get alcohol. Nobody checks their shit. So that's how they do their stuff. Except there was a sexual assault that got reported. And then everybody in the platoon said, yeah, we won't talk to anybody. And so, you know, normally this stuff's all handled within the special operations community. Somebody said, I'm not having it. Get the fuck out of here. Put them on blast and send them home. So Navy dealing with yet another incident. Number five, North Korea says its test was a solemn warning to South Korea. So, again, everybody saw the news about the launch into, I think, the Sea of Japan. A day after two North Korean missiles were launched that rattled Asia, the nation announced Friday that it had tested a new type of tactical guided weapon that was meant to be a solemn warning to South Korean weapons development and its rivals' plans to hold military exercises. There you go. Kim Jong-un. Overseas ops, despite missile launches, North Korea deal still possible, says Turner. So that's Representative Mike Turner, the top Republican on the Senate Armed Services Strategic Forces Subcommittee. Hey, look, everybody knows that's all bluster and bullshit, right? He's just acting out, right? He's just acting out. Again, this is the crazy shit why free nations of the world need to operate together. This is from the Associated Press. Taipei, Tyco Transit near Taiwan tweaks Beijing. All right. So we're talking about, right? We're talking about the USS Antietam driving through the over 90-mile wide Straits of Hormuz. Yeah, the USS Antietam, Ticonderoga class, blah, blah, blah. Taiwan's Joint Intelligence Surveillance and Reconnaissance Task Force said nothing unusual took place during its journey. So, there you have it. But why that's a big story, I don't know, because we've been doing that. Right? This is an interesting story out of Axios. Afghanistan peace talks. U.S. pushes towards face-saving way out. And again, this is, you read this shit, right? And it does nothing but make your blood boil. So, somebody explain this to me. Face-saving way out? What does that mean? Right? The ongoing negotiations between the U.S. and the Taliban are a charade designed simply to provide the U.S. a face-saving way out of Afghanistan, a former Deputy CIA Director Michael Morrell tells Axios. It's written by a guy named David Lawler. Why it matters. The Trump administration wants to move quickly towards a deal to end the war in Afghanistan, but Morrell, who now hosts the Intelligence Matters podcast, is one of several experts and former officials warning that such a deal won't secure peace. The president has said, this makes me feel good, because the Lynch Kenny McNamara Afghanistan barometer is like got like a wince face, right, with about a green color, means it's gonna puke, right? So that's what we think about the peace deal. Quote, the president said the Taliban is tired. That's not true. The Taliban controls more territory than at any time since the 9/11 attacks and seeks that it what it has always sought, to fully control Afghanistan as a one-party state. Next bullet. He says a recent Taliban video that justifies the 9/11 attacks based on U.S. intervention policies and threatens vengeance against Afghan security forces represents the Taliban's true view more clearly than anything told to U.S. negotiators. Now, know this, right? You can say anything to an infidel in the course of negotiations, and it's not held against you, because he's an infidel, right? He's an infidel, so whatever deal you cut is irrelevant with an infidel. Just get him the fuck out of your way. Next bullet. Despite the U.S. red line that Afghanistan will never again be used as a base for international terrorism, Morrell says the Taliban would welcome al-Qaeda back to the country after a U.S. withdrawal. The big picture, quote, this argument I'm making, that the Taliban is going to take over, al-Qaeda is going to have a safe haven, is exactly the argument the president made to stay in Afghanistan 2 years ago, Morrell said. But we all know, then Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis kind of dragged him kicking and screaming to that, and the president wants out. So, interesting. I'm going to have to find this guy, because he sounds like he speaketh the truth. And everybody knows I'm a fan of the truth. All right. We're going to take a break. Well, okay, a couple of headlines about Iran. USS Boxer pulled into Bahrain a week after shooting down maybe two Iranian drones. So be careful, boys and girls. Bad things can happen there. In a naval confrontation with Iran, Great Britain can find neither ships nor friends. Wow. What does that mean? I don't even know what that means. That cryptic headline? In a naval confrontation with Iran, Great Britain can find neither ships nor friends. It was a knife twist that originated in Florida, but it was felt across the Atlantic. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, appearing Monday on Fox News via live feed from the Veterans of Foreign War Convention in Orlando, was asked by anchor Brian Kilmeade what the United States' role was in helping the United Kingdom get its tanker back, which was seized by Iran in a tit-for-tat raid at sea after the UK seized an Iranian tanker suspected of smuggling oil to Syria. The responsibility falls to the United Kingdom to take care of their ships, Pompeo said. America's top diplomat went on to say that the U.S. had a role in policing the Straits of Hormuz, but the world has a big role, too. To keep the sea lanes open, he continued, I'm convinced we'll do that. It was a loaded answer. The subtext wasn't missed in the U.K. The U.K. has a responsibility to protect its own ship, but doesn't have the Navy it needs to do it. Yikes. Like the U.S. Navy, the Royal Navy has seen a decline in the size of its fleet since the 1980s. Only in the case of the Royal Navy, it had fewer ships to lose to start with. The U.S. Navy has struggled to maintain a global commitment of 290 ships. It has seen a 52% decrease from its peak in 1987 of 594 ships. The U.S. Navy today is pursuing a goal of 355 ships. During roughly the same period, the Royal Navy has lost more than 40% of the fleet. That stood at more than 130 ships. Today's Royal Navy numbers fewer than 80 ships.
Wow.
So what you're saying is the U.K. doesn't have the ass to police the Straits of Hormuz. Yikes. Used to be a mighty power. Not so much. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get the chef on and we'll talk a little food. Let me read you a couple of emails. This one's entitled Discipline. You know, Mac, a college coach used to be up my ass daily on the football field. He was relentless. He once told me, when I stop yelling at you, criticize you means I stopped caring. He was tough, always getting after me. However, he didn't do it to the teammates who didn't care or were not first team tier. So constant ass chewing, etc., were needed for me, helped me and shaped me. It's discipline and shapes and molds our character. Yeah, I mean, well, we've done it for decades, and all of a sudden, we don't do it the same way. So, I don't get it. Okay? I don't get it. I don't get how an institution that behaves a certain way can now say, okay, we'll turn it over to our most junior people. And then the response is going to be, well, we're going to operate, right, in a dispersed organization. So it should start in garrison. Okay, let me tell you this. You earn every bit of your lease. But I still don't believe, right? So what are our senior leaders going to be? Are they going to be nowhere? No, they're going to be out doing what's known as battlefield circulation every day. So they're going to be in the area. I just don't buy it. I don't buy that novices know what they're doing. They're novices. They haven't been doing it long enough. And so when you give me this, you know, dispersed operations bullshit. It's like, sorry, we don't let first-term people off on their own using the judgment that they think they have, but they really don't because they haven't been around here long enough. That's bullshit. All right. Here's another email. You do sound a little bit on edge, Mac. I am on edge, okay? I am on edge. I'll freely admit that. This stuff, and again, I go back to what we talked about earlier in the week. Gerald Mattis's appearance was prompted by this whole discipline discussion. And now you see this. And then you hear, you know, you see that he mandates there will be two formations a day. And then you hear that, yeah, well, they weren't having them. What? And it's just, you grab your head and you think, I don't get how you think this shit works if senior people don't look at young Marines, first-term Marines, and unfuck them on a daily basis by, like, multiple times a day. That you've got to be here, right? You've got to be there. I had somebody tell me yesterday when I was talking about this stuff, you know, all of a sudden he's looking at a roster, and he looks at the roster and he sees different names written by the same person. And so he says, hey, come here, the person who signed it. Hey, come here, where are these guys? Well, you know, and he said, then he looked at him and he said, go get them. And you know what the response he got back was? Sure, I don't know where they are. That's the kind of novice shit that you get. Because they're novices. And that's why you have grown-ups around them, so they don't do that. And so when you hear that this is the way that this is gone, first of all, it's stunning. And you can't believe that we're going to play You Go Bet Your Life while we're doing this kind of bullshit. And that there isn't adults around that know better. And that's the mind-blowing thing. So again, it's not the Marines. The Marines are the canvas. They will be what we make them. They will be what people fashion them to be. And if you're good, they'll be good. If you suck, they'll suck. Or they'll be out smuggling people. Or they'll be out doing drugs. That's what'll happen. But it's not the Marines that's the problem. It's leaders in the Marine Corps that don't lead that are the problem. And I'm not even going to tell that story. Because then I'd really get pissed. If I told this story? Anyway. Yeah. I want... The organization that didn't have formation... Marine's wife miscarries. He gets a Red Cross notification. Notification gets handed to a lieutenant. Lieutenant sits him down and talks to him and tells him, and then they make arrangements for the Marine to... No, the Marine couldn't go back home. Okay? So he's the Marine dealing with him. Next day, Lieutenant asks the company commander and the company first sergeant, hey, do you want to talk to so-and-so? They both said the same thing at different times, right? Cause they, so they weren't together when they said it. Did you talk to him? Yeah, I did. No, I don't need to talk to him. Like, are you fucking kidding me? And you wonder how this happens. It's called shit leadership. So, on that positive note, more of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the pissed off All Warrior Radio Network.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net, or call 866-966-1020.